Hallelujah. Have your seat now. Praise the Lord. So in the afternoon, we looked at the work of the Spirit, right? You got Spirit and the flesh. You got a difference? So we said the flesh is not your physical body, right? In Matthew 16, 18, 19, when Jesus said, Thou, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell, 17, 18, shall not prevail against it. I say also unto thee, and he said, I give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever things you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And we said, that word is plural, right? Come on. And that's the gift of the Spirit. The giving of the Spirit is the authority. The authority of the believer is the giving of the Spirit. God gave us His Spirit, and that becomes our authority. I would say that's the Christian life, okay? And God doesn't give His Spirit, remember that, to perfect people, to smart people. Smart people don't know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. They are too smart for Him. Too intelligent. They calculate everything. They try to figure everything out. And they can't flow with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Because they're always calculating, you know. They try to rationalize stuff. But we must learn how to flow with the Spirit. And some of us, sometimes we get too careful with the supernatural. We get too careful. And maybe it looks weird. But you see, you cannot believe in God and then shy away from the supernatural. The very belief in God is supernatural. Because you can't see Him, physically speaking, praise God. The fact that you subscribe to faith in God is already faith in the supernatural. John 4, Jesus said, God is the Spirit, or God is Spirit. Right? He's unseen. That's basically what he means. So your faith in God itself is a faith in the supernatural. The unseen world. The supernatural world. And a believer must get accustomed to it. It's quite an ignorance you shouldn't afford. You cannot afford. You can't afford it. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, gifts is italicized there, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, if you could write that to a church, that in chapter 1, verse 7, he said they came behind in no gift. Their own problem wasn't that they weren't seeing the gifts and demonstrations, right? It was the fact that they were having an abuse of it or somehow a misuse. But imagine him writing that so much information to a church that was given to the things of the Spirit. Because it's not possible for you to have been planted by Paul. And Paul's first encounter was supernatural. Amen. I mean, is it Paul you'll be arguing with that, I don't know, is it right for people to fall under the power? He will look at you. That's the first way, that's the way I met Jesus. You know, he's the wrong person to ask. You understand? Is it right to fall under the power? He didn't have to write anything about that because that is his story. Amen. And you know, imagine if you were Paul's friend, then he got home and couldn't see with his eyes, he wasn't blind. Paul, where are you coming from? Church. What happened to you? I had an encounter with God. Ah, this is weird. And you can't see. Well, I can see things you also cannot see. And it was in visions and revelations. I'm sure his clothes were rumpled. You don't fall on your clothes looking clean. He fell to the earth. I'm sure his clothes were dirty. Right? See, what kind of church meeting is that you came back and your clothes was rumpled? Well, that's why it's a church meeting. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You'll be asking him a stupid question. Praise God. And he fell. He fell. He fell, got up, and he was in a vision. Praise God. Remember Chapel Luyol in 1993. I attended a meeting like that, hosted by Reverend Victor Adeyemi. He was doing a series on the anointing. In fact, I made sure I didn't miss a single meeting. The anointing, then he did the anointing, ministry gifts, the call and the mantle. Three series together. Ministry gifts. And when he was done, I was in the battle then. When he was still doing the series, I had gone back to Lagos in Nigeria. I was traveling back every week to listen to that series. So, one of those meetings, he just said, let's just have our eyes closed. And I came from a conservative background. Not that I was used to the supernatural one way or the other, but the meeting was a bit weird. So I was looking around. I said, what's going on? People are falling under the power. People, different weird demonstrations. So I was trying to be a journalist. Some people do that in church. They know what happens to everybody. Nothing happens to them. The only thing that happened to them was they saw everybody. That was what happened to them. So I was looking at it, I just heard the Lord speak to me very loudly. Close your eyes. Do you know that? This is personal. I can't remembering that voice. Anytime I'm praying or what, I just keep hearing, close your eyes. It was so loud. And I shut my eyes. You know, it was a Tuesday. I shut my eyes. I'm not Brother Tok, so I don't know whether it's 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. It's the one that I'll tell you it's 4 p.m. It was a Monday. I know the Tuesday because it used to be Tuesday service. That's the only reason I can remember. You know, so it was a Tuesday and I just fell. Because as I closed my eyes, I just fell. Boom! And I just saw cobwebs under a chair. It was very unique. And I was with my friend Olubadi, who is also called Sunday. So both of us, we're going home together. And we didn't say anything to one another. We just kept walking. We walked from that place to, if you know that road, Joyce B. Ibadan. We walked and walked. You know, when we now go home, we say, what just happened to us? The power of God. And you know, usually you won't even know what happened till years later. Years later. About 2 years after, I went for Believers Love World camp meeting. And you know, somehow I didn't get there the first day, and I really was upset because, you know, I was still younger then, so I was at home with my parents, and my dad said, how can you go out on Easter? Easter is when family will do. Don't mind him, we've never had any family thing, you know. Family must stay together, and love each other. I said, oh God. And you know, so anyway, I went to the boarding house, so I know how to go around things like that. So I packed my things, put it somewhere else the day before. So when I was going to go, nobody was going to notice. I just took a stroll normally. Didn't know I was going far. So somehow I thought I missed the first day, you know. But unknown to me, they actually didn't have anything the first day of the camp meeting. So I saved money. Those are one of the ways to receive from God. Let me say something to you very easily. You know, some people travel down. There's some of you who live here in Jersey, New Jersey, that's where you stay. Some people came all the way. I know a brother who is here now, who flew in from Canada. He missed his flight. He told me, said, I'm going to make it. I told him when he said he had landed, I said, you are such a good role model. Actually, I said, I love your attitude. You know, and he came in. Let me say something to you. Don't feel bad. See, people that do that much, they will get more. It's just how the principle of God's kingdom is. It's just how it is. It's so interesting that about 70 to 80% of the New Testament was written to the Gentile church. All Paul's letters, right? First and second Peter is Gentiles, right? First, second, third John, same. Jude, same. Of course, the entire book of Revelation, seven churches in Asia. The only one that the Jews could manage was Hebrews and maybe James. Maybe James. Why? Because there seemed to be some hunger from the Gentile world. Just the hunger. And so that day, I had saved money. Reverend Chris or Yakilome had said, look, you guys should save money for tapes. So I saved the money. They used to register them for the camp meeting. So myself and my friends, three of them, we had planned that we were going to meet there. So I was going to register for them with my own money when they would pay me back. Unknown to me, they wouldn't come. They didn't come. They still haven't come. So, I went there. So, prepared. But in my mind, I thought I missed the first day. So, I missed the road. So, if you know Nigeria well, I went to the border town, Teme. They now told me, you know, when you want to miss road in Lagos, ask people. Just say, where is it? They say, when you go like this, you go like this, you go like this, you go like this. Then you see somebody, ask the person. So, you know, I'd go to the very extreme. They said, why did you come all the way? You know, so I had the temptation to use the money on me and move. I said, no, this money is to buy tapes and books. So I decided to walk. It was about 4 hours in the sun. I was just praying in tongues. I didn't complain. Why is this venue this long? Is it not God? Why should you take a venue this far? I mean, Jesus even said that you don't have to go 20 mountains to what you know, begin to look for scriptures that don't mean anything to you. So I began to speak. Now, interestingly, I didn't know that the first session was still ahead. So I was preparing for that session. I just prayed in tongues. I said, look, I'm going to get here. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to get here. I'm going to be blessed. Now, as I was walking into the venue, I met someone who now happens to be a family friend. You know, Pastor Damola Oshideko. I met him. So he said, we just spoke briefly. And I said, so I walked into the meeting. That was actually the first session. I didn't know. You know, there was no phone, GSM then in Nigeria. So we couldn't have called somebody. So as I got there, you know, I saw a guy from Ghana. You know, he had his bag. And then Chris now said, there's someone. You are in this camp meeting. He mentioned where I came from, mentioned the name of our fellowship. Eh? So, you know why that happened? I prepared for it. I spoke it into operation. But something that happened, as he called me up, two people, myself and someone, now showed up. I said, who is this guy? So he just said, no, it's not you, it's you. I said, So he laid hands. And then he said quite some things that I've not even repeated again. And he said it and sang, there was out this song, Jesus, I love you so, and I want you to know. It was just about the time he laid hands on me that song came out as a sound. You know. And when I told Pastor Precious, who was there, he said, so you are the person? I said, I'm the one. He said, you were in that meeting. He said, you don't tell. I said, we've been looking for Jesus for a long time. Do you understand? So, you know, and I just left and I kept those words. Because when I went for that place, I said, Lord, I'm coming to represent millions untold. Many that I've never met. But I'm going to represent them. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to receive from millions of people. When I was saying that, everybody in our ministry went up to 50. But you know that I did receive for people. I received for you. So when you go for meetings like that, don't be selfish. Don't sleep off. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't doze off. Stay awake for those people you are still going to see. There are things here. I told people, see, there's virtually no operation of God's Spirit that I see working in my life that didn't start in a meeting. There's something about meetings that you should be sensitive about. Just about a year before, actually. Was it the same year? No, it was a year before. The meeting was called at Lateran Assembly. Association of Independent Ministers. It was a group of ministers, so I wasn't part of them. They just announced it, you know, casually. So I went there. And when I got there, they were registering. So the guy registered said, so who did you come with? I said, like what? He said, you're not a member of this organization. I said, I know. He said, you cannot come. I said, please. I'm begging you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, look, I promise you, I won't make noise. He was a wonder. What was this guy? He said, please, oh. I said, no problem. So I got there. You know, I sat down. Just about 30 or 40 people were there. Then a man by the name of Rostatro came from America, came. And he began to minister. As he was ministering, he just pointed at me. I said, you come. And I came forward. Then he began to prophesy. I can say largely a couple of things that happened to our ministry about 10 years gap. He said it that day. And that was his last visit to Nigeria. He never came again. You know, and he said, are you listening to what I'm saying? I brought up my Walkman as I'm recording everything you're saying. I came prepared. Hallelujah. I was ready. I was fasting. Anytime I go for meetings like that, I'm fasting. Because there's an attitude that receives. Romans 12:11. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You must have such an attitude. You know, and Some of us won't see much. You know, in the afternoon we talked about the supernatural. Get used to the supernatural. There's just something about you are always on the edge. I said this last year. I remember I did that. You should be like this when it comes to the things that you're ready to act. You know, don't be the kind of person they want to prompt all the time and say, "Brother, now pray now." So I'm trying. Everybody's rejoicing. Just do like this. You see, what's going to happen to you is that in your individual life, you will also struggle to flow with the Spirit of God, to even hear from God. So, don't play smart. Don't play intelligent. It's stupidity. You know, be a child when it comes to the things of the Spirit. Be a child. You know, I'll say another one. I usually attend Winter Bible Seminar in Tulsa. So, there was this year, I flew differently. I must have shared it with you before. And I flew differently. So, the flight was very long. And I was really tired. I was very, very tired. So I told myself in the plane, as a confession, I am not attending the first session. In the name of Jesus. God knows I'm tired. The Holy Ghost knows I'm tired. Jesus knows I'm tired. Even the demons know I'm tired. Even I know I'm tired. Tired knows I'm tired. You know, when you say those guys, you convince yourself. So I told myself, I was just going to do this, I'm going to do that. So I was planning to meet Reverend Tokes. We usually meet there every year. So he was going to come around, so we're going to see. So, unknown to me, he wasn't going to show up for that session. You know. So, as I was landing, you know, it's not about having that remembering who you really are. You know, you can forget who you are because you're not a pastor. So I said, oh boy, you wouldn't have done this years ago. You are becoming prouding. You know, there's pride, there's prouding. Prouding is present tense continuous. You are becoming prouding. I said, go to the meeting. How would you come all the way? And your first activity is to sleep. There's nothing more possessed by demons than that. You came all the way, and your first activity is to snore. Hey, are you sure your name is not out of the book of life that way? That's how I was reminding myself. So I went for the meeting. I was grudgingly going anyway. So I had to drop my stuff at the lobby. As I got in, the minister just said, there's someone, a Nigerian pastor. He was less than 5 minutes. A Nigerian pastor. So he came and said, you know, come, the Lord gave me. And now I was the only call. So I came out. Then, again, somebody else came out. The minister said, I'm not talking about a Nigerian pastor. The pastor pastors in Nigeria. The guy was pastoring in the UK as a Nigerian. So, you know, you are a missionary. So I'm the one that is in Nigeria. You know, imagine now, the minister could have said that thing and the person would not be there. No, the person did not come. That's what happened. The person didn't come. There was something like that. I was ministering in Ghana. I think it was in that meeting. So I gave a call. The person didn't come out. They came after the meeting. Remember that day? I said, hey, I didn't want to come out. I said, so what do you want me to do? He said, I told you to do it privately. I said, no, it was for that meeting. Let me tell you, ask any preacher. I know you are one. Every time you finish preaching, you want to just go. Anything we do after that pulpit is just by faith. Maybe God will do something. There's something about when the thing is happening. And I came and said, I'm just thinking I didn't want to come out, you know, because I said, you didn't want to come out. So what do you want me to do now? Say, what you wanted to do before? That time has passed. Okay, let's just agree and say in Jesus' name, whatever God wants you to do. No? Very funny. You didn't want to come out. And you still wanted to keep the problem then. You know? They said, rejoice. Say, glory. Stay there. No. Those are ways to receive from God. And, you know, people say, raise your hands. You like this. Is this raising? This high five. Bad attitudes. What was unique on the day of Pentecost? They were all in one accord. That's why you should buy an accord. They were in one accord. Which means when they said, let's get up, everybody got up together. Let's get on our knees. Sometimes we sing a song, we bow down on our knees. Somebody will just, we bow down. How would you lie that way? We bow down. How is that true? You know, so there's such attitudes. You know, but let me get back to something. There's also something about you just appreciating the supernatural. Just appreciating it. And don't get tight. Don't. About it. Because usually, now, the supernatural things can be a bit weird. A bit weird. There's some people that say they are weird people. And the word they are is that they now say they don't believe in those kind of demonstrations. I dare say you're not a word person. How can you be a word person? And you have some of our people falling under the power of God, rejoicing. And you have, you know, there are demonstrations. Demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. That you should get used to. Demonstrations. A man can just fall and then he will be in visions and revelations. I've seen people, they just got, practically couldn't speak for a whole day. The power of God was on them. And by the time they started to speak, such boldness in the things of God. Just like tonight. Because I'm scared to do something tonight. And I'll do it. Yeah. You know, you shouldn't, don't downplay the supernatural. That is what you believe in already. You are not negotiating it. Except you are an atheist. You believe in the supernatural. When you say, I believe in God, it means I believe in miracles. That's what it means. When you say, I believe in God, it means I believe in the physical manifestation of power. That's what you are saying. You can't say, I believe in God, but what? Amen. I believe in God and His power. I do. I believe in physical demonstrations of God's power. I believe in healing. I believe in miracles. How can you not believe in the ministry of angels? How? 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 1994. We had this meeting. We called it Dynamis Meetings. Royal Family Fellowship then. I could name names. I've said it. I've named those names before. You know, many of them are my friends, you know. And today, and we had this. I preached for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 7 to 7 every day. At the Lawrence's house. At Suwilere Estate. Igbobo, Lagos State. You know, the Lawrence's home, the house. One of them is the pastor now in Epe, in Nigeria. And, you know, I preached for 2 weeks every day. Every day, signs, wonders, diverse miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost. 94, August, actually. And was teaching every day, just morning till evening, we just prayed, you know, and all that. Then the last day, we asked people to just bring food, let's just celebrate it, you know, and all that, and all that. Then I never believed I could be a pastor. I used to say I wasn't a pastor, I was just going to preach, teach, but not exactly pastor a congregation. Very funny. So, people now brought food. We now found out that the food wasn't sufficient. You know, just, well, it's a Holy Ghost meeting. So the person, we're quite much because they were filled up and outside. So the person that brought the food, I just laid hands on the cooler. I said, distribute it. Until everybody was filled, the thing didn't go down. Kate Ayemere was there. She's a pastor in Christ Embassy. Bimbo Lawanson was there. She was there, so he's in Canada now. He was there. Ayo Alaka was there. Tosin, what a miracle. It is so. In fact, that day, we saw some very weird things. Why did God do it? Ah, what kind of question is that? That's a stupid question. God is God. And His power was in demonstration. And we can believe for things like that. Paul says, covet earnestly. The best gift. So I said, don't pray for the supernatural. Who said that? In Acts 4, they prayed that by the stretching forth of your hands, to heal, signs and wonders might be done. We can pray for signs and wonders. Yes! And I'm telling you, the church in America, you need to wake up and pray. Signs and wonders to be done. Signs and wonders to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Signs and wonders to be done. Signs and wonders in our meetings, in our outreaches. Signs and wonders. You go for evangelism. Imagine calling out someone's name and say, maybe it's guesswork. And say, this is your brother's name. This is your, this, now listen to me. Hallelujah. Amen. We had one meeting, Word on the Mission. Oh, that's the, this one too now, 98. About August 2. So as we started the meeting, the guy was walking out. So I went to meet him. Pastor Dokwendo, who was there, is now one of the directors in Rema, or executive, sorry. So I said to him, I said, why are you leaving? He said, is this not concerning spirituals? He said, I'm used to it. I know it. I said, oh, the Holy Ghost must be ignorant. That's why he's still there. Amen. So he turned around. And my friend just told him, well, so-and-so is wrong with you. He stopped. I said, so you have to go back to the meeting. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, those things happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Those things happen. Don't go for evangelism and go and share coffee. And go and share cake. And go and share food. That's not evangelism. That's welfare. Evangelism is the power of God. You preach with the power of God. Amen. It's not a discussion. It's a preaching. Amen. It's not, I actually want you to just think about it. Think about what? Amen. Paul says, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's get used to the supernatural in our meetings. Yeah, just like now. Let's get used to the power of God moving. We're just used to it. It's not odd for us to be in meetings, and then we'll just have a whole row just under the power. It's not odd for us to be in a meeting. As we're going on, we just fall under the power, praying and having bodies of prayer. It's not odd for us to be in a meeting and we just get up and rejoice and run around. It's not odd for us in a meeting and we have sights and sounds. Let's get used to things like that. Hallelujah. Thank God. Sit down a few minutes. We're getting somewhere. Let's get used to things like that. It shouldn't be when one special day in the year. No! Get used to things like that. When you are used to things like that, much of the problems you face in evangelism and discipleship will be resolved. I was telling my pastor friends here, I said, look, this is not to play down any country. Oh, sorry, but I'm just going to say, this is from the church. I'm the pastor here. I said, look, as one of my junior friends had been his mentor for, what am I saying, 32 years or more, 31 years. So he was telling me, he had a vision, he stays in Canada. He said, you know, I don't know. He said, bro, no, I don't know what to do. He said, I had this vision. I said, let me tell you something. It's obvious that where you are, there's no fire there. You told me, come back home. I'll take you to some outreaches. You will ignite the thing again. Then I'll send you back. The earth is the Lord. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. It's the Lord and the fullness thereof. Say, you need some experiences. How can you be a believer and you don't have experiences with the supernatural? Angel you never see. Voice you never heard. Power of God you didn't see. Vision. What have you been doing? What have you been doing? Showing up in church on Sunday, 40 minutes, hearing message. Listen to message. Message called Passion Translation. Message. What about the power of God? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind. It filled all the house where they were seated. And they appeared unto them, coming tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And spoke in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. That wasn't the first time. Imagine the nation of Israel, in their unbelief, they saw God on the mountain. They saw the power of God. A nation filled with rebels saw the power of God. You are born again. You are doing intelligence. You are doing intellectual. You are doing gentle gentle. Stop it! Step in the supernatural. And you will see your ministry, how you will break grounds. Don't allow the environment to dominate you. Give yourself over to the supernatural. Pray more in the Holy Ghost. Pray more. Get into things like that often. Pray more in the Holy Ghost. The supernatural is our realm. Hallelujah. It's our realm. You should not just say, well, give me a few days. I'll pray about it. I will sense what to do. You should be able to say that boldly. Give me a few days. Give me a few days. A guy came and he said to me, he said, Pastor, I said, don't say anything. He passed us in Enugu. He said, come. I said, don't say anything. He said, let's just pray in tongues. So when we prayed in tongues, I said, this was why you came. This was, He said, I said, well, I know how that can happen. Because I said, let's just pray in tongues. You know, I'm used to it. Amen. I'm used to it. You should get used to things like that. Get used to things like that. Not for special meetings. Now, I was saying something. Why do those kind of things wane in people's lives? Sometimes, is what you expose your heart to. I told you last night how just by reading some things, there's some things, don't bother, you know, now you see something. They said, well, this thing is poisonous. You've seen it already, it's poisonous. It's to attack the church, the ministry gifts. I told somebody something. I told them in church in Lagos, actually. And I saw some other pastors. There was this advertisement or this documentary done by BBC about T.B. Joshua. Now, T.B. Joshua is somebody that you know very well what I say about him. Doctrinally speaking, you know, and all that. But I told some friends, I said, it wasn't about him. He's dead now, he's gone. That the real issue there was that they were trying to say that the things that were being seen in his ministry, now I don't subscribe to his ministry, you know, but let's just make this about him. I said, what he said was that it was fake. I said, think very well what they are trying to do. If they admit that those things were supernatural, they've admitted the supernatural. So they are trying to say it's fake. Where they are going to is not him. Is to totally discredit the supernatural manifestation that we see. I know how the world thinks. The world has never gotten it right about Jesus. And they are not about to. Never feed on such sources. Satan plays a long game. He wants to plant doubt in your mind. He wants to plant things in your heart. Now, they told you, somebody has poison. You say, which part? Now, is it the stupid part you want to see or the idiot part? Say something has poison, say, hey, let me just look at it carefully. What are you looking for? Run away from it. Hallelujah. Don't be listening to things, criticizing the church, trying to tell. They play the long game. You know what they do? Now the moment they're able to discredit a man of God, a woman of God, you start to see people in that light unconsciously. Oh, fake miracles. This one, miracles. Me, I don't see. I first of all believe in miracles. Someone says it's fake. I don't know who gave you the number, which one is fake or not. May I believe in power of God? So that's what I say, hey, it's fake, fake. Bring the original one. So I was telling me, I'm not speaking in tongues in the Bible. He said, but all these tongues I'm listening to around the body of Christ. He said, it's not the one in the Bible. I said, wait, have you seen the one in the Bible before? He said, no. And you think this one is not the Bible? You're not really well. How can you say the one in the Bible is true, but the one you are seeing is not true? But you have not seen the one in the Bible before. Maybe you don't have the Bible. Do you understand? Have this attitude to be positive about the supernatural. And I see that that is the weight being lifted off many of you in ministry. You see, you need to trust in the power of the Holy Ghost. You need to trust in the power of the Holy Ghost. You need to. And I'm telling you, there will be people that will pick their phone and call you in tears. Please come and talk to me. Why? Because something supernatural had happened. Supernatural had happened. My mom is practically one of the people who honor me the most in life and ministry. She hardly calls me my first name. She hasn't done it in about 30 years. You know, what happened was that she used to be my opponent in ministry. Her dad was a minister. Her granddad was a minister. So she told me, this is one day she said, who called you? Nobody called you. You called yourself. She said, as much. So one day she woke me up. She said, I want to first of all apologize. I didn't even know what she was trying to say because I barely had slept. She said, you know, just about an hour ago, she said, the Lord Jesus appeared to me and warned me about you. I didn't oppose her. And from that point, she became my number one supporter. Supernaturally. Supernaturally. You know, there's something about the supernatural. It's not me that you start to convince. Convince about what? If I didn't believe in the supernatural, I would be dead by now. I believe in the power of God. Do you understand? So, you must have an attitude. Paul says, despise not prophesying, quench not the spirit. There's an attitude that can quench the spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. In 16 says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. 17. 18. He now says, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Then 19. He says, quench not the spirit's fire. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. There is a way you can despise something. Someone told me, he said, why are we not seeing the things in the Old Testament today? Is that not your doctrine? You say it is passed away. So it has passed. Those who believe in it will see it. You say it's passed away. That Christ has fulfilled everything there. He has fulfilled it now. So how would you see something that has been fulfilled? You won't see it now because the science of your theology is going to follow you. It's going to follow you. But those that believe is the same God and the same story, they will see those signs again and again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. Something about the power of God. There should be an attitude that we have. You know, tonight you will trust God to lay hands on people as they want. You know, what is it that is in your heart that you trust God for? You, a manifestation of God's power. Of God's Spirit, of the gifts of the Spirit that you're looking forward to. You thirsted for it. Now I'm led in my heart to just lay hands on you for that purpose. And to see that desire happen. And happen now. You believe that? Yeah. To see it happen. Happen now. But you see, watch your attitude generally to the things of the Spirit. Watch it. Don't let no air of irreverence or dishonor for the things of God. Don't let it happen at all. At all. A preacher, you know, I went to his house 2003. We had lunch. So he told me something. And he's a well-known preacher. He said to me, and I'd known him for years. So he told me, he said, I should come and do something. So I should come and minister in his church. I said, why? He said there's this minister that he works with, that he noticed that the supernatural dwindled in his life just by the association. What happened was that just a few years before, he called me to lay hands on him. He even gave me a gift, a shirt, said I should take it and lay hands on him. He said he wanted to be, he saw me minister in one meeting for another friend. So he said, I want you to just lay hands on me and, you know, to see those things that are happening in your meetings. I did that. So he now called me later on and I went to his house and he said that minister, interestingly, is like he submitted to the person. He said that he just stopped seeing the things of God. So I told him, well, now for whatever reasons, I couldn't be the one to hold the meeting in his church. So I said, I'm going to get you another person. I said, when he does a meeting, in your church, it will trigger those things again. Of course, I've known one person for at least 30 years who is consistent. Every dose. I said, I'm going to hand him over to you like this. I said, leave the rest to God. And that's how his church went back into the supernatural. There's something about your company too. The kind of people around you. When people talk about the power of God, walk away from it. Because one day you will need that manifestation. And then he says that we should learn about faith and healing. Because one time or the other, we either need it for ourselves or those who are close to us. There are some subjects, it's not just about you. People around you also need you to know those things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give ourselves to the supernatural. And we will see a new dimension to ministry. And I'm saying to you that this is like an outpouring. Not, it actually is. And there will be more gifts of the Spirit in demonstration in your outreaches. You see, all this talk about, I can't go to people's houses. Look. You don't have to go to people's houses. See on the phone. If you have a word of knowledge, right, and you minister the power of God, the person will say, come and see me. You are talking to someone. And, you know, you are in the Holy Ghost. Now, just like the church in Acts, we now need to pray in that direction. They said, grant on yourself all boldness and we preach your word, that signs and wonders will be done. Have we prayed enough for it? They prayed. The Bible says the place where was shaking together. Now, this is not a church that used to pray once in a while. No. They used to pray every day. So the momentum had built up. And when they preached, the power of God was in awesome demonstration. We like the signs in the book of Acts, but we don't pray like they prayed. We don't. So, I dare say to us, God is also calling us to much more praying. There's a public one, of course, but you as a person, pray more and just, you can actually just believe God for the supernatural in your ministry, for signs and wonders. As you go to preach the gospel, as you go to talk to people about Jesus, and even do follow up, that signs and wonders will be done. Kate is a person. I went to her. You should preach to her. She's the pastor now. You know, I used to buy bread in her shop. So I would talk about Jesus. She would just laugh. She would forget about Jesus. She used to laugh. She would make fun of me. And usually, and someone now told me, said, do you know that girl is in a cult? You know, I said, hey, I didn't know. She sent me bread. She said, you ate that bread? You know, my African people. So she now came for one of our that dynamic meetings. She said, as she came inside, she just saw balls of fire. She ran around the meeting and she knelt down. And that was when she submitted fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say anything. She just came for a meeting. There's such a thing about, and why was that meeting like that? We are taking days to fast and pray and believe God. It was four of us that started it. The place was filled up till outside. Just four of us, myself, Bimbo, Tosin, and Shion. Just four of us started it. And at the end of the time, all the bad boys in the area got born again. All of them. Those guys who come together and play football and probably go and smoke and all that, they all came together and believed the gospel. See, we can actually see the power of God in demonstration. Don't do ministry without the power of God. You just be a good speaker. It's the power of God. When the power of God is in demonstration, it will break down strongholds, take away the walls, and crush the power of the enemy right before your eyes. And that's what we are about to witness. A fresh outpouring of God's Spirit. When we all first hunger and go for the supernatural in prayer and waiting on the Lord, we will see it. We will see it. And let me say something. Particularly those of you who are pastors and all of us, let's do more healing outreaches. See, I know you were discouraged the last time. My first healing outreach about 32 years ago, everybody I laid hands on got sick much more after. I'm sure the ones that were not sick before now got sick when I laid hands on them. It was a very bad evening. And it was outside. Everybody I laid hands on, I said, how are you now? Nothing. What about now? Nothing. Two of them actually had to go and be admitted to the hospital. That's the sign of my healing ministry. You know, unfortunately, somebody now came for the meeting and said, why did you lay hands? I said, the Bible says, you laid hands. Are you an apostle? It says, Jesus was talking to apostles. And I checked it, truly I wasn't an apostle. He said, did he ask you to lay hands on everybody? I said, he said on the sick, what if they are possessed? He said, if you laid hands on any of them, they were possessed. He said, the spirit that is on them will just come back to you. Do you know what happened? I believe the person. That was that night, after my own healing meeting, I fell sick. I was now admitted into the hospital. That was the sign of my own healing ministry. But you know what? I didn't give up. Hallelujah. That's the point. Some of you have been discouraged. You prayed for someone and say, nothing happened. Stay there. Stay there. Because you believe in the power of God. It's all about faith. We don't give up. We stay there. We pray again. Look at Elijah. He asked his servant, go and see. The guy came back and said, no show. Should I go and check? He said, Pastor. I said, no show. You check again. See the doubter. See something like the hand of a man. He said, go and check here. Prepare now, now. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He prayed again. James now said, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. He said, Elijah was a man of like passion. He prayed and he prayed again. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't give up. You pray 2 days, you want to see the power of God. People like Kenneth Hagin, 1 year, 2 years, they were praying to see the move of God. Rotox told me that the move of God he saw in UI in 91, 92, it took him 18 months. You know, just 3 days. So I didn't see anything. So I see the hand of a child. It was me. But we contend for the power of God. And we're going to see it. And you see that there will be multiplication of disciples. Amen. Yeah, there will be. Just stand to your feet briefly. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God.